T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Break it down.
All right, fourth and final hour here of OMF. Ordway is out this week. You got the MFers. We had Fitzy join us yesterday, but it's just the MFers here. Solo Marloni and Fourier. I felt like this was coming, and we've sort of seen it the last couple of weeks when it comes to the NFL. We know the struggles that the other leagues are having getting started up, you know, protocols being out there, players being skeptical whether they want to return to sports or not. And there was a feeling, I believe, early on, even like during that draft and free agency, that the NFL will be able to plow through it all. You know, none of this would affect the NFL. Finances, like the MLB, trying to negotiate contracts. Nope, not the NFL. All powerful NFL.
That would never happen.
The owners would never ask for money back from the players. Ever.
Yeah, I think we first of all, so the NFL asking to hold 35%.
Let's let Tom Pelissero explain.
Okay. Tom. I was gonna speak first. Thank you.
Yeah,
Tom.
He is. This he kinda shocked the world a little bit. Shook the world, I should say, a little bit with this.
I am told that the NFLPA informed the Board of Representatives in a call this afternoon that the NFL has proposed escrowing 35% of players' salaries throughout the 2020 season to account for some costs and potential lost revenue because of COVID-19. Now, how was the union responding to that? Don Davis, one of the union executives, said in a call with all players a short time ago, basically, we told them to kick rocks.
There you go, kick rocks. So now, again, 35% put in escrow. The NHL does this. The NBA does this. Now, we know their salary cap. It's based on league revenues. So the NHL, I believe, is in that 12, 14%. This year, I think, is higher, whatever. But at the end of the year, when the league show that their revenues and that they made their money or they made revenue, they made money this year, they give the money back to the players. But the NFL is asking for the players to put 35% of their salary in escrow. So they're going to receive 65% of their salary throughout the 16-game season. And basically, if fans never come back, the players may never see that.
Yeah. Oh, you want that money? It's like a mob. It's like a mob move. It's like a shakedown. Hey, why don't you give that money to me?
Yeah.
I'll hold it.
Yeah.
I'll make sure it's safe. Now, I promise I'll give it back to you. And you never, and they never even mention it again. Oh, what money? I don't know what you're talking about. No, we agreed to this. No, I don't know what you're talking about. You said you were going to give it back. No, I don't know what you're talking about. You guys know, Rob, you know what he's talking about? Never heard of it before. I mean, the gall and the audacity of the NFL to actually even propose this.
Well, you knew
makes
it was
me laugh.
The NFL is claiming they're going to lose $3 billion, you know, in revenue with no fans. And then I heard 30%. So the $3 million is not quite 30% because I think they make more than $10 million in revenue. But the billionaires, if they lose 30% of their revenue, they're not going to just sit there and say, okay, well, we'll take care of that, just like in baseball. They're going to ask for some of that money back. And you're starting to, just like baseball when this happened, you know, Ian Snell was out there right away and Bryce Harper. Well, here's Michael Thomas tweeting out, LOL, in response to Tom Pelissero's tweet. LOL, everyone will sit out and not play until they get their stuff together before we do this. He says it has to be a joke. Roger and those owners better use their billions and put it in escrow or plan accordingly. Our health is way more important. This is about as backwards as it gets. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus, this is an absurd ask by the NFL. If anything, the players deserve a bonus for playing with the added risk of contracting COVID-19 and potentially passing it on to their families. You are going to start to see reaction from the NFL players, because just like in baseball, nobody likes losing money
on a contract that you signed. To me, it's crazy because it's the NFL, with all their years of growth, with all their years of success, with all the money that they've made, and then suddenly a year comes around where you might, I say might because there's not even a guarantee that they're actually going to lose money. And they're going to make less money. And then to me, but you're not necessarily going to lose money. Maybe make a little less, maybe break even, but you're not going to make any money. So the 1 year, they might be less profitable in the past than they were in the past. They want the players to sit there and absorb that loss. Suddenly, out of nowhere, we're all in this together. I can just see them singing the song. Guys, there's a pandemic. I think the NFL is flat out taking advantage of the situation.
I think it's even
more
worse
importantly,
than baseball.
The opportunity that they can have, because they saw what Major League Baseball did. They saw what all these other Fortune 500 companies have done, asking for pay cuts from their employees. The fact is that the NFL owners, when it's all said and done, I don't think that they'll take a loss. I think they'll make less, although break even. So to me, out of the 1 year, out of the 30 years, you're finally going to take a hit. I think you can recover.
Same discussion in baseball. I mean, we were talking about it. We had the same discussion. You know, the MLB owners, their revenues have been going up, skyrocketing, you know, every year, record setting. They're up to $10.7 to $11 billion, $10.7 last year. Meanwhile, the salaries have stayed the same. They're not giving it back to the players. They're making all this money. And then the 1 year they're going to take a hit, they ask the players to give it back. Now, the players the entire time were just asking for full prorated salaries. Just pay me what my per-game salary would be. I know we're not playing 162, but, you know, I don't want to play 70 games and get paid for 50. And that's what the owners are trying to do. So they finally agreed 60 games. Well, I guess they didn't agree. Major League Baseball gave it to them 60 games, but they're still receiving 100% of their salary would be for 60 games. NFL is sitting there saying, we plan on playing 16. You're going to play them. We're just going to pay you 65%.
Yeah,
and you may never see the rest of it again.
So my thing has always been that the revenue from the league, the revenue that the league generates comes from three different categories. And I always thought that the revenue from the gate, from parking, concessions, and fans in the stands wasn't great enough for them to ask for anything. So we had Don Davis on. Don Davis, former NFL player, played here in New England, mm-hmm. special teams guy, is one of the executive directors of the NFLPA. He was actually the guy that you mentioned earlier on that we heard in that Pelissero clip that informed the other reps that we told them to go kick rocks. So we asked Don about the revenue and where does it come from and how does it kind of get divvied up?
We have our revenue system that we have and how the split goes. The players, when it comes to, it's split in basically three buckets. There's a media bucket. There is a NFL Ventures or properties bucket. And there is a local bucket. The local bucket, which the players take the least percentage of, which is 40% of those profits of that revenue, that is where the fans and the stands falls in under. So that whole, all of those three buckets for us equate to a 47 cents on the dollar, 47 and a half cents on every dollar. And I mean, I think that out of that bucket, right, a percentage of that deals with local. What you're going to deal with.
So here's my thing. So if you have media, you have NFL Ventures, and then you have the local bucket, which is the gate, the parking. So they get the most out of all these three buckets. They take the biggest share of the local bucket. So they can handle the concessions. They can charge more for tickets. They can force the issue and make more money and force more preseason games because they're going to get that gate. They can charge people more. So of course they're going to fight for it. Of course they're going to try and keep some of it. But in the end, it's still a smaller percentage than their media and their NFL ventures. Because media, I would say, would be the biggest bucket.
Yes.
So the split is closer. The ventures, the split is closer. But the local bucket is a 60-40 split. So, I mean, it makes perfect business sense for them to fight for, but I think it's the wrong way of looking at it, because you're fighting for something that ultimately doesn't affect your bottom line as much as media and NFL ventures. So you're going to try and act like and put us in a position.
You're right.
NFL
they're not going to make as much money.
So you're not going to. So you're just not going to lose money. Yeah. So we
or
want
if they tell
less
the players,
of a loss.
Well, you're not going to make as much money either, because we're not going to make as much money either. You're not taking a loss. We're just trying to take, maybe eventually they settle on 20%. Think that
so
happens?
They've already added an extra playoff game.
Maybe they won't.
No, they already did.
Well, I'm just saying.
So you're getting an extra playoff game.
Is there a chance we are in the same boat as Major League Baseball? Can make all the same arguments for the owners and the players, and they're sitting there saying, listen, I'm playing the game. I want to be paid full salary. The player, NFL player should be saying the same thing. But I wonder if it's going to be portrayed publicly the same way. Because I think the baseball players were the villains in this whole thing. It wasn't the billionaires. It was, you know, the millionaires. Again, 65% of the guys on rosters make less than $1 million. But we kept talking about Trout and Cole. You know, Gerrit Cole the whole time, like 35, 36. No, it's not always the case. But it was still, these players need to realize that these owners are losing money. So why shouldn't they lose money like the owners? That was like the discussion. So I would throw it back in the NFL. All right, well, same thing. If the players aren't playing, then maybe the players should give in a little bit. Will it be portrayed the same way? Major League Baseball, NFL, if this thing kind of goes down that same path.
But I don't think we're comparing apples and apples here. I think what the NFL is going through is completely different. They're going to be playing in every single game.
Maybe.
Well, okay, as of right now, the only thing that's going to be missing is preseason games, and players could care less for a bunch of different reasons. One, you don't really get paid for it. That's not part of your salary.
Well,
your salary is based on your game, your regular season
and
games and playoffs.
Where the new negotiations might come into play. You're going to ask for, let's say they settle 20%. You know, 35 is the first ask. I don't know, maybe they come back and say, well, okay, give us 20, 25%. You don't think the players are going to come back here and say, okay, well, then we're not playing any preseason games. And you won't put any on TV. And oh, by the way, we don't want to do the extra playoff team either. Because just like baseball, we don't want to give you the expanded playoff format so you can make money on TV if we're going to be paid less. Why should I give you anything that's going to put more money in your pocket? You know, if there's no fans, there's still going to be no fans. So that loss, revenue loss, is going to be there. I guess you could argue that, hey, if we have more playoff games, we'll make more money on TV. Right? And then there'll be a bigger part of the pot, and we can make more money to help you guys. But you would still sit there and say, well, you're probably not going to have fans. I don't know if you saw this, but Baltimore came out. President Dick Cass. Apparently, they hold 71,000 fans in Baltimore. Wednesday morning, he informed season ticket holders that they're going to limit the attendance to less than 14,000 people. So as of right now, if they have fans, it's going to be 14,000 people instead of 71. So, you know, I mean, you're looking at, I don't know.
To start.
25% in that range.
So right? You've already mitigated. You've already mitigated
20%.
The loss. So you're already at a better place than you were, you know, on Monday. You didn't think you were going to have any fans. My point to you is like, so if I come to you and say, hey, listen, I've had a really rough year. I've been taking hit after hit. And I said, well, and then you asked me, hey, well, how much money did you lose? Well, I didn't lose any money.
I just didn't make as much as I did
before. I just
didn't
make as much, you know, but it's, man, I got this yacht, got this whole thing I'm building, and I just don't like the way it looks because I'm used to succeeding every single year, and I don't want to be the only person dealing with it. And we're all in this together. That's what I keep hearing. So I would say no. I would say, and even if you took a loss, okay, 1 year out of how many, the first year ever, you telling me, see, the owners can make that up. The players can't.
We've had this. It sounds like me talking baseball. But do you really think that if the owners lose 30% revenue, that the players aren't going to pay up on any of that? It's just the owners are going to take the hit, not the players?
In this situation, first of all, the NFL, they come out, they say 35%. It's outrageous. It's a ridiculous number.
It is.
It's a non-starter if you ask me. Come back when you're serious. I'm a reasonable man. You know, I understand what's going on. And even Don Davis, when we talked to him earlier today, he talked about optics. He mentioned optics, man.
Mm-hmm.
That okay, there is we do need to be mindful of what's going on in the world today. So we have to kind of at least come to the table, but don't do this. Don't come at us with 35%.
See, I think the players will fight this. I think they'll be more vocal, I should say, than even baseball. Because, you know, listen, we admit there's a lot of baseball young players in the league that need this money that don't make all that kind of cash. You know, there's guys that are free agent. There's guys that are 32, 33 that are trying to play for two or three more years that, you know, that need this cash or whatever. You know, then there's other guys that have a 5-year deal, 6-year deal, 8-year deal that are just sort of like, it's there. It's guaranteed. So I don't play this year. I'll get it next year. I can count on it. The NFL's different. Like, these guys are sitting there saying, okay, yeah, I got a 3-year deal, but I know, and you know, there's only 1 year left on it. This is the only year I'm going to make this money. I could be a free agent next year. I don't know what the market's going to be. My career could be over in 2 years. I don't want you to take any of my money this year. I don't want to give you 5% of my money this year because I don't know how long I'm playing this game.
See, do you think it's going to get contentious? Do you think it'll get ugly? See, I kind of think, I think we've seen some hints at least. You know, forget about what you see from the players. What I like to look at, and I'll give you an example, J.C. Treader. J.C. Treader plays for the Cleveland Browns. He's a lineman, center, and he is also the NFLPA president. And he wrote this whole article in the NFLPA website, and I saw it this morning. And tell me if any of this sounds familiar to you, okay?
Go ahead.
As a preventative measure during the COVID-19 pandemic, the NFLPA and NFL formed a joint committee of doctors, trainers, and strength coaches to develop protocols designed to bring players up to full speed in a healthy way when they return. Here it is. The NFL initially accepted and implemented the joint committee's suggestions, including items like no joint practices and no fans at training camp. However, the NFL was unwilling to follow the joint committee's recommendation of a 48-day training camp schedule. So despite everything that they did.
Despite the experts' assessment.
Despite the experts that the NFL brought in, they all agreed on bringing these experts in. Okay, how do we figure this out to make it work best for everybody? We're all on the same page. We're all in this together, right? Well, sure enough, part of that recommendation was having no preseason games. You shouldn't have them. You should ramp them up. It should be a 6-week, basically, restart of your program. Well, the NFL says, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Well, I mean, we're all in this together until you take away preseason games because that's our way of making money. You can't take away the preseason games. We need those preseason games. Well, what do you need the preseason games for? Well, we got to evaluate the rosters. Okay, I get it. But to me, that's the first sign that everything started going bad. There were some cracks in the armor once the NFL realized that, wait a second, we're doing this together, but we're losing money now because we're agreeing with them. So we have to cherry pick this thing.
Yeah.
So now, initially we were on board. Now we're not, which is the same way and the same thing that happened with Major League Baseball and the players and the union.
Well, at the end of that paragraph, J.C. Treader says, the NFL is unwilling to prioritize player safety and believes that the virus will bend to football. So again, player safety, they're going to have their time at the table, just like every sport, you know. And I think this could get just like baseball because I think that they can't help themselves. There's too much media. There will be a leverage game in the media, and this is a chance to get ugly. I want to go to Pat in the car. Pat, you're on with OMF. Go ahead.
Hey guys, listen. You can do simple math on this. The Patriots' average ticket is $156, 78,000, whatever. It's $12 million a game just in ticket revenue. Times 10 games is $120 million. Parking concessions. I heard a figure that was in excess of $200 million. The players get 40% of that. So that means that's $80 million, what the players would be losing. That's the player's share. If you look at the percentage of the salary cap, it's about 40%. So that 35% they're asking to escrow equals the actual amount of money for the player's share that's being lost. I mean, the owners are losing, based on the Patriots' numbers, Kraft is losing about $95 million.
Well, let me give you this stat. Because we have, I think it was Forbes came out with it, and it was stadium revenue for every NFL team. And the Dallas Cowboys were outrageous. I mean, it was like, trying to think, this thing is a little slow right now. But it was... So they say, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys have $950 million total revenue. $621 million of that comes from team stadium revenue. two-thirds. Patriots are second, 600 in total revenue every year, 315 team stadium revenue. So it's like half team stadium revenue. So if the Patriots don't get anybody in the stadium, all of a sudden they don't make $600 million. They make under $300 million.
Okay, so they don't make as much.
And the rest of them aren't as bad. But, I mean, Dallas is outrageous. $621 million of the $950 is from team stadium revenue.
Okay, so two teams.
So I don't know, those numbers are a little bit off from what you were just saying.
You know, and maybe L.A. and Vegas, you know, when their stadiums open, maybe it'll be different for them. But a team like Dallas, I think that's the outlier.
Yeah.
I don't think you can include them.
Patriots are second.
And I think the Patriots are in that same boat. You know, I want to know what middle-of-the-road teams do.
Middle-of-the-road, Seattle Seahawks.
I was going to say Seattle. Helm of the 12th man.
$439 million. In total revenue, 156 in stadium revenue.
Okay, give me Green Bay.
Green Bay, they're 10th, 456, 174. That's where most teams live. You know, 400, 110, 120,
yeah.
450, 174. The outliers are Dallas and New England.
Yeah, so
half.
And it's weird because Dallas
two-thirds.
I don't know how many they seat, but it's a lot more than what Gillette Stadium holds. I mean, Dallas, I mean, their stadium, it's ridiculous how big that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's why I don't think it's, I mean, listen, nobody wants to take a loss, and damn sure you're not going to tell a billionaire, you know, to, you know, get used to it, you know, suck it up and deal with it.
To your point, you go middle of the road, Seattle, 439 revenue, 156 in gate. That comes out to 35%, actually 36, middle of the road.
Yeah.
So on average, where are you at? 35%.
So
they're looking at saying, we're going to lose, on average, 35% at the gate. We want to keep that from you. We want to take all the losses
they made that
from
number.
The gate. Every single
yes.
loss from it's the a, gate, we want to take from
see,
you.
See, to me, doesn't that kind of piss you off?
Yeah, because then you say,
what
well,
are you
okay.
doing? So it's my fault that you can't have people in the stands.
So the entire gate loss, you want us to absorb.
Yeah, you want us to deal with it. That to me is insane, because I feel like there's this, let's take advantage of the situation. Hey, the climate tells me that I can ask for this, and then the players are gonna look insensitive and tone deaf. That's the way they're gonna look. Look what happened to Major League Baseball. You saw the players were getting ripped for how insensitive they were. There's a pandemic going on. My thing is fine. You're not gonna make 100%, 200% profit for the year.
Well, based on this Forbes article that was, when was this? May 18th of this year, total stadium revenue. The NFL would lose, according to this article, $5.5 billion in stadium revenue, or 38% of its total revenue.
The NFL as a whole, again, now
as
you're including
whole.
Those
everybody.
Big market teams.
That's everybody. As a whole, on average, okay. 38%, they're asking for 35 back. Oh, basically all of it. We'll take a 3% hit. You take a 35% hit.
It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen at all. And they're crazy if they do it, because it's not their fault. So
do you think that, because the one thing you can complain about Major League Baseball union, you might think they have too much power, whatever. They're unified. They showed that this time, whether it pissed you off, and it pissed me off watching it play out in public. You think the NFLPA is unified? When you say, like, you know, do you think the NFLPA will stand up for themselves? Or do you think they'll let the NFL owners just push them around like they usually do?
No, I think in this case, I think they have the high ground. In this case, I think they have the leverage. They need it. So you're already going to take, if we don't do anything, you're going to take a 35% hit. 35% hit. No games. Are you willing to take 50? Okay, we're going to shorten the season. Now you're going to be 70. Do you feel that strong in your position and that you're willing to, you know, challenge us with this? I don't think it'll happen. We'll concede something. Maybe it'll be preseason games, but I don't think they're going to give them any money.
But if that was the case, wouldn't they always have leverage when it came to, like, you know, CBAs? It's still the players' league, and this is the argument when any team comes up with a CBA. It's still a players' league. That the players on the field, they're the talent. They're the reason why people watch. So if that argument, then they would always have leverage.
No, but I would say in another situation, in past situations in negotiations, that's why they always fold.
Yeah.
It's because you've already seen it. We'll grab scabs. We'll grab replacement players. We'll wait it out. Not this situation. I think you have the element of the optics of the coronavirus, the unbelievably huge high need for football, for sports. So as in past, hey, you'll negotiate for 4 to 5 months, a year, 2 years maybe. So you'll be prepping for a no. So you'll get players ready. You'll get an alternate league ready. You'll do something to prove to them that you can wait them out.
Yeah. In this scenario, the owners would be the bad guy. In baseball, the players are the bad guy. That's what I want to know.
But the trust thing.
That's what I want to know. I want to know if you're going to treat it the same.
Are you going to rip
the NFL players because they're insensitive to everybody being furloughed and laid off and what's going on in our country and they're bitching about their money and wanting their money just like you did with baseball? I personally would like to know that. So you can give me a call. We can talk personally. 617-779-7937. Will you hold the NFL players accountable like you did the baseball players who were selfish and greedy, even though they went up against billionaires? Because it seems like in the NFL, the billionaires are the ones that are going to be the villains.
Well,
and the players are going to be the ones that have on the right side of this.
There's a lot of themes.
I think that's
interesting.
Interesting.
There's a couple themes that I think are very similar. The trust aspect on both sides. I mean, it's right up in your face. The fact that the players in Major League Baseball didn't trust the owners and they shouldn't have because it was obvious Manfred was lying. It was going to be 60 games all along. So they made the right call. So again, with Don Davis, NFLPA executive, he's the one giving all the information to the player reps around the league. He's the one that said, we told the NFL that go kick rocks. We're not signing anything. I asked them, how was trust going to actually play out in this? And what was it going to take for the NFL players to trust the owners?
We have a joint committee, many joint committees that have provided recommendations as to what constitutes risk mitigation and what's the best and safest way for players to play. One of those committees is our return to work committee. That committee jointly hired folks from both sides, came up with a schedule that we called an acclimation period schedule. What their goal was if everybody was in light of COVID, and we have to assume the lowest common denominator, that a guy who's living in a state that's locked down and hasn't been able to do anything but push-ups and sit-ups, would it take to safely protect that player, lowest common denominator, to get ready for one game? They came up with a almost six week and a half ramp-up period. The NFL had decided that wasn't good enough because we can't do that and fit it in football without canceling the preseason. So because preseason is so important, we're going to cancel the recommendation of the committee that you just signed, that they gave their recommendation, and we're going to alter it. And now we're going to do those same periods, but we're only going to do 2 days of here, 3 days of here, and more days on the back end. That's one way that you could really say, no, you know what? If we could believe that in the best interest of the players, based on this committee, who is full of experts, not people who are on side arguing, they've had given this schedule, we're going to abide by that schedule. That'd be a big step.
There's your message to the owners. That's your message. And you can hear a little bit of sarcasm in his voice. It kind of reminds me of the Brady clip that we always play. When I was doing, I'd do everything I want. Yep. You can see he tries to
maybe be. One day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions that I want.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's trying to be, you know, the good person and not kind of ruffle any feathers. But you can tell that they're insulted by just the pure notion that they would put 35% or they would put a committee together, agree upon the people that are on that committee because they're smarter than us.
If we could believe that in the best interest of the players, based on this committee, who is full of experts.
The committee's full of experts.
Right
and sure enough, so we get together, we jointly hire these experts. All together, we say, this guy's smart, this guy's smart. You like this guy? Yeah, it's like jury duty. It's like when lawyers kind of select the perfect person, you know, for the job. That's what they did. And they won't listen to them because mm-hmm. they're not telling them what they want to hear.
No, and this is where the fight will continue. I think J.C. Treader, we mentioned it before, the article that he wrote, the center for the Cleveland Browns, actually the president of the NFLPA, he threw some numbers out there I thought were interesting because I think, you know, we've talked about this before. When all these sports come back, You know, first off, what's the sport going to look like with no fans? But then again, the other side of it, injuries. You know, hockey, NBA, baseball, and now football. And in his article, does he talk about the percentages here? J.C. Treader.
Golic and Wingo earlier today.
Coming out of lockout, we saw a 25% jump in injuries, 44% jump in hamstring strains, and double the amount of Achilles injuries. And when we talk about Achilles injuries, those are potentially career-ending injuries. And I don't think player safety and making sure guys come back healthy and don't get hurt in training camp is just a should just be a union issue that we care about. You know, obviously the union doesn't want guys to get hurt, but fans don't want to see their favorite players and their star players go down in a training camp injury that makes them miss the entire season. And teams shouldn't either for that exact same reason.
And, you know, we're not talking about like a lockout strike. I mean, they played football last year. Right? You haven't really missed much, but what you have missed, gyms have been closed. A lot of guys have been quarantined. They haven't been able to go out and do their normal routines in the off season. There was no OTAs to kind of kickstart getting in shape type of thing, right? So these players over the last 3 or 4 months are completely, some of them, you know, out of their routines as far as what it takes for them physically to get ready for the season.
Yeah, see, I think, to me, that's a good way of looking at it. And we also talked about how, you know, we put so much emphasis on preseason games, and when you really look at it, you know, the only guys that really need it or even playing it are the young kids, the guys that are fighting for a position, not even fighting for a position, just filling the time and the space that exists during a preseason game. Because I would sit there and say, you take a guy, any veteran, McCourty, you take Edelman, and you count up all the plays, the number of plays during the last three seasons in all four preseason games, and I would say that that would probably look like a regular season game. 60, 65 snaps, maybe, possibly. Hell, I remember one year when I was doing the preseason games, sometimes those guys would play six plays. They'd have two, three and outs, and then the first quarter would be sucked away by the other team. The next thing you know, it was the second quarter. At the end of the second quarter, you go out there for a two-minute drive, it's three and out, or there's an interception, and now you're done for the day. So you've only played eight plays in one game. Now the next game comes along, you play a little bit more, maybe if you're lucky. And then after that, you're Dunsky.
Yeah.
You're sitting down, and you're letting the other guys take the beating.
Well, I just think that, you know, not having an offseason, I don't know about you, but it was like a schedule for me. It was, you know, a month and a half, I was in the gym, and then around New Year's, month and a half, I go out to Arizona. And it was like those, you had a routine of what it took, regular gym work, and then go out there, do speed, agility, everything, hit baseball, hitting, throwing. And, you know, if everything was locked down, I wouldn't do any of that stuff. You know, and you just wonder, because the trainer was always talking about your body's like a bank account. You got to keep making, you know, deposits. Because when the season starts, all you do is withdraw. That's it. And if your bank account is zero in August, you're done. You know what I mean? So it was like, okay, you got to get ready for a season. Have these guys been prepared, ready for a season? You could say that about all sports. All right, listen, when we come back, there's been a little local debate here caused by one friend of ours, Tom E. Curran, about who would you rather have a quarterback, Pat Mahomes or Cam Newton for 1 year? We'll have that debate next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI.
If you're Bill Belichick, Curran, would you take
Cam Newton at the veterans minimum, or you take Patrick Mahomes for the next 12 years? You got him for a dozen years, Curran. What would you do?
I would take Cam Newton. And the reason I would do that is because I abhor spending all my money on one spot.
Boy, oh boy. We love our boy Tom E. Curran, OMF, No Ordway, Maloney, and Forid here live at our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI studios. But what is he smoking?
I don't know. I mean, I would like to get some. Probably like another half an hour.
Jesus.
Because everything seems good. Everything. That's he doesn't really believe. I feel like that was a produce segment where they said, listen, somebody's got to take this side. Holly, I'm not going to do it. And then Curran said, fine, I'll do it.
Like, what you're saying is you don't want Pat Mahomes for the rest of his career. For the rest of his career. You'd rather have Cam Newton.
The chance even of being league minimum. Successful.
I don't even care.
Is that what it is? Because he was cheap?
Yes.
You feel like you've accomplished something. Well, you got such a good deal that you rather take the bargain basement price with the hope, with the chance for 1 year, possibly two, of being good. Not great.
See,
good.
I hope he's not looking at the construction of this roster, because we all know that right now the Patriots couldn't afford that kind of money. They could afford Cam Newton. He fits perfectly. But it's just this idea, and I think a lot of people around here, you know, when it comes to Belichick, it's like he loves value. You know, first round picks suck. A second and a third is much better. You know what I mean? So, or, you know, why pay this when you can get this guy or free agent, undrafted free agents or Kyle Van Noy or Ninkovich, Frabels and Simons. And these are the guys. That's how Bill lives. But I think even Bill would sit there and be like, listen, we're talking about Pat Mahomes. Yeah, I'd love to have Pat Mahomes on my team. And then you know what? Because I know how to build a roster, I would build the roster around Pat Mahomes and we would win. And we would be exactly what we have been for the next 10 years, most likely. Don't want Pat Mahomes throughout his career? Is this even a debate?
No, it's not a debate. Because to me, I mean, if you're thinking about, can you imagine if you're one of the teams that passed on Jordan? There weren't a lot of them. But this is basically who you got. Like, Patrick Mahomes is close or has a chance to be the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
Yeah.
Young, successful. He's already won an MVP. Ain't nobody like him. Isn't there anybody like him? Now, how they, you know, keep their team alive and keep their staff and their coaches and all that stuff, that's a whole nother story. But the fact that you have, not even arguably, the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
It's not a debate.
I mean, it's not even a debate. There's nobody close
to second.
So you
would rather take
him
for 1 year? We need to ask him that
question. Oh, by the way, Adam Schefter, Patriots officially announced the signing of the quarterback.
Oh, it's officially official.
It's finally official. But I'm with you. I don't think it's a debate. Yet Greg Hill threw out a poll this morning, and there's about 2,200 votes on there right now. Would you rather have Cam Newton 1 year, $1 million, or Pat Mahomes 12 years, $503? 55% of you actually said Cam 55% Newton.
55% of you.
55. You're talking about 1,400 people out there. Explain yourselves. 55% of you would rather have Cam Newton for $1 million. I get it. It's a great deal, but let's not lose our freaking minds right now. Like, it's Pat Mahomes. I don't even know.
I don't. You know what? It's the whatever I serve you, you will eat.
Oh, that's the poop analogy.
That's the poop analogy.
Yeah.
And it works in so many different ways.
It does. I want you to hear from Randy Moss. Randy Moss giving his thoughts on who Pat Mahomes is.
When you look at a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and like I said, being able to extend the play, I'm a deep threat guy, and having that type of speed on the field, for him to be able to extend plays, we possibly could be looking at the greatest quarterback of all time. No disrespect to Tom Brady and what he's been able to accomplish. His Super Bowl ring speaks volumes. But when you look at the position, how the position and the game is changing year after year, we could be possibly seeing the greatest quarterback that we've witnessed.
Hmm. Okay, so again, I feel like we're going to end up getting to some weird debate 5 years from now where Brady has six Super Bowl, nine appearances, six Super Bowl championships, yet people still think that Patrick Mahomes, even though he had two, was a better quarterback. It'll be that debate. It'll be that whole debate, right?
Well, he's got a ways to go. We all know that. But, I mean, it's off to a pretty damn good start. And I do think, I don't think it's even close. I think this is a guy that, you know, we talk about Cam Newton. You know, what if his ankle flares up? Or he's not the same runner? Or Lamar Jackson's not the same runner? Or, you know, Pat Mahomes, we see him move around an awful lot. Well, last year with the dislocated kneecap, he was still pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you know, even when he wasn't 100%. This is a guy that can actually sit in the pocket and be very, very good. And even said last year, can't even read defenses yet.
Yeah, and I was sitting there going, okay, so we had this discussion about the next highest paid, the biggest number is going to be the next quarterback to sign. The guy that resets and breaks all the records is going to be the next quarterback to sign. It's going to be Dak. It's going to be Deshaun. Yeah. It's going to be one of those guys. So I thought this was interesting. It says highest paid NFL player based on average per year and how long that person held the record for highest paid player in the league after his contract. So they go all the way back to 2013 with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, his average per year was $22 million. So this is the 2013. He held that record. He had the highest average per year for over 1,000 days.
Jesus.
Then comes Joe Flacco in 2016. He held that for 119 days until Andrew Luck came around.
Imagine Joe Flacco, the highest paid quarterback. Go ahead.
Listen, timing.
Yep.
So, and then Andrew Luck came along, and then he held his record for 358 days at $24.6 million in 2016 until Derek Carr came around at $25 million. Barely above Andrew Luck. He held that for 71 days until Matthew Stafford came in 2017 again, $27 million. Then he goes Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018. He only held his spot for 33 days, the lowest number out of all of them, until Kirk Cousins does his three-year deal, and he gets $28 million. And then he goes $30 million with Matt Ryan. Then he goes Aaron Rodgers again. So Aaron Rodgers is in this lineup twice at $33.5 million average per year. He held that for 231 days. And then here comes Russell Wilson, $35 million. 446 days until Patrick Mahomes came out and just obliterated it and beat it by $10 million. So normally, for each guy, they may hold the record for a while, but it's, hey, you beat me by $100,000, $400,000, $500,000, $2 million, $2.5 million, $500,000. And then it gets to Patrick Mahomes, where it's $45 million, $10 million over what Russell Wilson was making in 2019. So the question is, and Russell Wilson held that for 446 days, second to Aaron Rodgers of over 1,000 days. So to me, Patrick Mahomes could literally hold this based on the way his contract is structured for the next 4 to 5 years. That's why when it's all said and done, it was worth every last penny. He's always going to be the highest paid player, at least for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think it's a bad contract, though. If you think he's, and that to me, the fact that they blew it out of the water. So top three quarterback in Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, the amount of money those guys were making, they thought so highly of him. They thought his talent was going to last that much longer that they gave him $10 million on the next guy.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think this one lasts a long time because, and listen, Lamar Jackson, let's see what he looks like the next two years. You know, Dak Prescott's not in his category. I don't care who's up. I don't care if he's up next or not. He's just not.
See, but I would say Lamar Jackson has the same type of unicorn mystique that Patrick Mahomes has. The problem is that nobody believes that Lamar Jackson can sustain that type of play for a long period of time. So you would never give Lamar Jackson a 12-year deal. You may give him a 3-year deal with a 4th-year option, but there's no way. It's too risky to devote so much money to one guy when you're not really sure that he can last that long. So Lamar Jackson may be one of the highest paid players in the league, second highest paid, but it'll never be for 12 years.
No.
4 tops.
How are you with
trivia? Awesome.
No, like Instagram, like deciphering what Instagram, like
I'm pretty
some
good
of the lingo and stuff.
Wait, isn't like Cam Newton writing, is it?
No,
this might actually be a little easier.
Antonio Brown.
Uh-oh.
Just recently posted on Instagram a picture of himself in a Patriots uniform, that Miami game, looking at a play sheet, and he just tweeted, what is it, the siren emoji?
It's like a red, yeah, red siren emoji.
Red siren emoji?
Hey, I'm still in great shape.
And there's people on Twitter, he's not, I find it hard to believe he's returning to the New England Patriots. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it was liked by Tom Brady. I know that much.
He likes everything.
But he just he posted a picture of him in a Patriots uniform. That ain't happening.
But I don't believe Antonio Brown, his favorite thing to do now is just to troll New England fans.
No more white woman.
That's all he does. Yeah. If there's a rumor about him playing for Jacksonville, he'll say Duval.
Mm. Listen, let me go back to the calls here. Obviously, you're talking about the NFL asking the NFLPA and its players to possibly take 35% of their payroll and put it in escrow. That's the first ask. We'll see how this thing gets like baseball, if it gets nasty or not. And, of course, the discussion of somehow 55% of you people would rather have Cam Newton for 1 year on a $1 million deal over Pat Mahomes. I don't understand it. I don't know it at all. But let me go to the phone calls. I want to go to Sorja real quick, who's out in Mansfield. Sorja, go ahead, buddy.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
First, I got to say, the last half an hour was just titillating. I mean, you guys have really good stuff in there. But I wanted to chime in on the NFL players negotiation, comparing it to the MLB negotiation.
Yeah.
What they have to do is they have to take a page out of the baseball and say, okay, we cannot have as many leaks as baseball did, having this player say this, Manfred says, oh yeah, 100%, next day, oh, I'm not sure. And all this kind of BS we saw with the baseball and kind of what you guys covered every day. The NFL needs to make sure they keep things under wraps.
Can you?
But I think what's going to happen is, that's the issue, right? I mean, I hate to say, but this is like an issue where like a guy like Richard Sherman is going to open his mouth and he's just going to start firing off. And then maybe he's a very persuasive person. So other people will maybe, probably follow in suit. And I have to say, this is the NFL's actually offering the players a lot better deal than the MLB, if I'm not mistaken, because the MLB was saying basically to not get the take it as a cut, where the NFL is more saying we'll pay you at a later date, correct?
What they're saying is 35% escrow. So what happens is they take 35% of their pay, they put it in escrow. At the end of the year, if there's no fans and they lose lose all that money, then most likely they will keep it. And the players won't see any of it. If there's fans back, like Baltimore says, 14,000 instead of 71, so 20% capacity. You know, maybe you guys, maybe we'll give you 5% of your payback or 7% of your payback, and we'll keep the rest. So it depends. Okay. It depends on whether the league has fans or not, and how much, if that revenue from the gate comes in. If it doesn't, if there's no fans, they'll keep all that pay, and the players will never see it.
Right. But the other thing to keep in mind is that weren't you guys saying that baseball, the teams are depend a lot more on the regional sports deals, whereas the NFL has more national contracts?
Well, the NFL, thanks for the call, Sorja. I mean, media-wise, the NFL's media contract is ridiculous. But remember, baseball plays 81 games at home. So the Boston Red Sox last year had 2.9 million. We can talk about how, they went from 2.9 to 2.8. Oh, my God, attendance is down. They're dying. But 2.8 million people watch games at Fenway Park. You know, when you start talking about the New England Patriots, we're talking, 670,000, whatever it is. You know what I mean? A year.
Total,
eight home games. You know what I mean? So it's baseball, they rely on their gate. They have more fans spending more money. And the baseball contracts, media-wise, television, aren't like the NFL. But still, the NFL asking for, hey, if we have no fans, I want you guys to pay all of it. And I don't see the players going for that at all.
No, I definitely don't. So you just want me to go ahead and just put my money in there and just leave it there, and then you can just decide. And you wait, and I'm supposed to trust you to tell me the truth about the losses. So you won't cook the books at all. You won't hide money.
Oh, here we go again, right?
I'm telling you, it's...
But the thing is, they have a better relationship. They don't. They have to show the books. Salary caps are based on revenue. It goes up. You make money, we make money. So there is more of a partnership when it comes to that with these leagues that have salary caps. Baseball doesn't have that. Owners can hire whatever they want. They can make whatever they want. They can pay the players whatever the hell they want. It's up to you. Whatever. I'm making a lot of money. I don't need to. It's like a lot of teams. They have $70, $80 million payrolls. Hell, they get revenue sharing in baseball. Some of those teams that payrolls are $60, $70 million, their bottom dollar might make more money than some of the really good teams, because they're just not putting it back on the field. All right, listen, when we come back, we got last call. We got a 10-year anniversary of one of the biggest decisions in sports history. as well as our guest tomorrow will be Jermaine Wiggins.
Do you think Tom Brady is a $30 million a guy year?
So we want to kind of recap, because I think Christian missed this last year, a little trivia, a little 4th of July trivia between Wiggy and Mutt. You'll hear that next on Last Call.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All right, Last Call is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage and donate that old car to Cars for Kids, now offering contact-free pickup. So you can call today at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but 10 years ago today, we had one of the biggest decisions that rocked the sports world. Now, a lot of us sort of had maybe different emotional responses or physical responses from this decision. But this, 10 years ago, was LeBron James.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
It's very... who's that? Laffy? Taffy? Who is that?
Laffy. Jim Scratchy. Gray. Laffy.
Scratchy. It's very anticlimactic.
I know.
Isn't it
when
weird?
When you listen to it back, you're like, couldn't you get more, like, be more dramatic somehow?
And, join the Miami Heat.
It's like
Miami
two people.
Heat.
It's like, I want to hear you, Craig. You said you were joining the Miami Heat.
Yeah, Miami Heat. Is that what you woke up with? Miami Heat? Is that what you thought?
Yeah, because I look at it like
Some
of these young kids who do this big reveal when they leave high school going into college, they have all the hats.
Yeah.
And there's all this noise.
Yeah,
they do all this whole thing. And that was just odd. I remember it differently. You know, the image I remember with this is Bosch and Wade and LeBron came out. That's the vision I have.
Not one.
Not two.
No,
yeah, that
no,
one.
This
not this.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
So, yeah, it's odd.
Ten years ago.
And he's still getting crap for it.
Yeah, he is. 10 years ago today. You missed this last week because going into the 4th of July weekend. And again, tomorrow, it'll be the MFers and Wiggy. MF and Wiggy tomorrow. So
MF
get ready.
And Wiggy. I like
get ready
sounds.
For that from 2 to 6. You got the three of us. I don't know what the hell we should call that show.
Is it like the Jockstrap show or something?
Yeah, something
sporty related.
Jock itch.
Something sporty.
Jock itch, there you
something
go.
Sporty. Oh, by the way, we might recap a little bit because last time Wiggy was on our show was the day sports ended. So we might tomorrow. You might hear some of
Let's
the
take
opinions.
A look back.
Some of the opinions that we had.
That
day
is
one.
Interesting.
So you'll hear that tomorrow. But you missed this little. Like, was it Wikipedia? I think it was a little trivia between Mutt and Wiggy. Somebody used to call this the Battle of the Brainless.
Yeah.
But this is Wiggy and Mutt.
Good afternoon, everybody,
there we
and
go.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of Wikipedia, America's birthday edition. Please describe the writing of the Declaration of Independence as best you can. Jermaine?
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. That's my final answer.
All right. Fine answer there, Jermaine. He ceded some time to you, Mudansky.
Our founding fathers of this wonderful country of ours decided to put down the rules and laws we would abide by as we tried to separate from England and break free from the tyranny of England. We threw tea in the sea. We wrote down the rules. By these liberties, I declare we
right.
live.
But there were already people that were...
They traded us a bunch of stuff.
In arguably the most famous passage of the Declaration of Independence, your certain unalienable rights are what, and what?
Freedom, justice, and liberty for all, right?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right! I need, in 30 seconds, the most you know about hot dogs. From the 4th of July parties to the Coney Island eating contest and why we eat hot dogs on the 4th. Go, Jermaine, you're up first.
All right, I like hot dogs.
Mutt?
Back in the day, dogs would get, really hot.
An important figure, a seminal figure, if you will, in American history and our freedom was... Crispus Attucks.
Oh, okay.
Wiggy.
I know him.
Who is Crispus Attucks?
Well, you got that right, Wiggy.
Okay, fireworks. Why we used them, when they started.
You know, sometimes they use them to distract zombies. Get your ass in the house.
Fine answer, Mr. Wiggins. Mr. Budnansky.
Fireworks were developed by Sam Firework, who was the first of the fireworks family.
The American flag.
I think it was only 13 stars to represent the 13 colonies or something like that.
And I believe Betsy Ross.
Yes.
Betsy Ross, did she sew the first American flag? That correct?
That is correct.
That is
and
correct.
And then she had a sneaker out.
I need you to tell me about the movie Independence Day.
There was an actually Independence Day sequel made, which the president was, what the hell is that guy's name? I'm drawing a blank on the president, the actor's name who played him. The guy from, Will Smith, man.
What?
Okay, listen.
You're undefeated, undisputed champion of the Wikipedia world, Jermaine Wiggins.
I bow down.
Did you know about the
General Zod, I bow down.
Day sequel?
So that's Wikipedia. We're going to get 4 hours of Wiggy tomorrow on the MFers here.
All right.
Yeah, we got
Brian Barrett. I got a game for us to play.
All right. I like the games. Brian Barrett tomorrow. Is that what we feature?
Brian Barrett.
I mean, today on After Our Show.
Today? Tomorrow? Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, Brian Barrett all the time. Let's do it up.
All right.
He's on there.
I'll see you tomorrow.
MFers and Wiggy tomorrow. Later. We'll get you covered from 2 to 6. Have a good day, everybody. See you tomorrow.
I am absolutely done with this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.